is the sanctification of the firstborn. And since the Passover has happened, in the middle of happening here, the firstborn have been spared for all those that put the blood on the door and celebrated the Passover that night, or partook in the Passover, what became known as the Passover. And so now the Lord is going to give instruction on sanctifying the firstborn because of the deliverance of the firstborn from death. And there is, we'll cover the events of what this is, but the principle of sanctification is clear here, and it's, I'm gonna take you to a verse real quick, but you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to remind you of it. Peter would say in the New Testament, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And with this chapter and this ordinance in place, you'll understand a little bit more about what it means to sanctify. How do you sanctify something? And particularly, by the time you get to the New Testament, you're sanctifying Jesus Christ in your heart. And Peter talks about that, and we'll get to it. But let's deal with what is happening here in Exodus 13. Starting in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And he says that because these are the ones that have been redeemed and delivered from death, the death that just swept over the nation of Egypt. And these firstborn have been delivered out of that death, and now they're going to be set apart and sanctified in a way that God will describe. And will have principal application to the way you and I are expected to sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. But let's pray. And those are the things to keep in mind while we go through this. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Thank you for each soul that is here this afternoon. For those that are traveling, that you'd give them safety. Those that are sick, that you would be in the midst of their family. And I know, thinking of Billy, and just there's other folks, Lord, but I pray that you would give doctors wisdom, Mary Beth's situation, give doctors wisdom about that, and please give us some answers there. And then for this service, that you would help us understand what we're reading and make the application as we need to, that we would be fed by you and by your words. That's what we're here for. We're hungry for your words, and we want to be fed by you. And I pray we would. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, in Exodus 13, Moses is going to give the instructions on how to sanctify the firstborn who have been delivered out of death. And I'm just going to take this chapter piece by piece as the instructions are given. And then at the end, we'll make the application, because it'll be a pretty simple application at the end. But starting in verse 3, Moses says, or the Lord says through Moses, number one, and when it comes to sanctifying the firstborn, this is what you do. Verse 3 says, Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand, the Lord hath brought you out from this place, and there shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. Just a couple things here about remembering. So remembering, when the Lord says to remember, this is the first part of this whole sanctification process, or the sanctification application here. First is to remember. And you remember, the way you're going to remember this is with a feast. That's the idea. So sometimes I think you hear the word remember, and it's more of a mental activity. You just sort of reflect. And maybe sometimes it is that. But I would say more often than not, when the Lord says to remember something, there's a concrete activity associated with it. This is how you remember this. For instance, you guys are in church on Sunday afternoon. You're in church because you are remembering what the Lord did for you. This is a concrete activity that is associated with something you're thinking about. So you're not just sitting on the golf course thinking about it. You're participating in a celebration and an activity, and this whole activity is a remembrance of something the Lord did. This is what we're doing. And so remember with a feast. This is what the Lord says through Moses. Remember this with a feast. So there's an actively remembering. It's not always the case, but more often than not, it is the case. I'll give you another example. When the thief on the cross looked at Jesus Christ and said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," he wasn't just saying, "Have some thoughts about me." He was saying, "I want to be where you are, and I want you to bring me to the place, to your kingdom, where you are." Not just, you know, when you get there, just maybe have some thoughts. I'll be in hell or whatever. You can just have some thoughts about me. No. Remember me means bring me with you to where you are. So it's a concrete activity, remembrance. A remembrance. A headstone is a remembrance. It's a real thing. It's something that's concrete. Paul would say things like this. He would say, remember the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And what that meant was, don't just think about them. I want you to participate with them. I want you to help them. Whenever you have opportunity, when you ever have a chance, I want you to send some money back or send some help back, send some support back to them. And this is remembering. Remember the poor Christians that are in Jerusalem. And again, that didn't just mean thinking about them, but do what you can to help them. So somebody might say we need to create a memory. That's the idea. You want to create a memory, but that's kind of the idea. There's some real a real tangible event that's tied to this memory. And the Lord says, "All right, for this sanctification process, you're going to celebrate a feast, and this is how you're going to remember. It's going to be part of the remembrance. You celebrate a feast, and you're going to remove the leaven." This is the second part. In that feast, verses 5 through 7, he says, "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters." Just a note here, so we have it in perspective. Leaven is a normal part of baking. But at this particular feast, the leaven was to be taken out. There's other feasts where leaven's to be put in. This particular feast, you take the leaven out. And so remove the leaven, the second point in this. First, you remember this with the feast. Second is you're going to remove the leaven from the midst of you. And he says, don't bake with it, but don't even be seen with it. Don't the appearance of evil, so to speak. You don't want to make people think that you may have some leaven. And this led to all kinds of Pharisaical laws about, you know, what you do with this. But it's a pretty simple thing. Don't bake with leaven for 7 days. And don't be seen with it. Don't have the appearance of evil with it. So it's a pretty simple instruction. Remove the leaven. And part of this idea was, one part of it was, the speed with which all of this is going to happen. Remember, it happens fast. Once the firstborn are killed in the night, a Pharaoh that night starts to get the Israelites out of the country. He starts pushing them out of the country. He doesn't want them in the country. Even the Egyptians want the Israelites out of the country. So the Lord had told Israel, all right, when you eat this meal, this Passover meal, you eat it with your shoes on, with your clothes on, and you're not going to have time to spice anything up. You're not going to have time to marinate anything. You're going to eat this fast, and pretty much as soon as you eat it, they're going to kick you out of this country. That's what happens. And so some of these things have to do with the speed with which all of this happens in that Passover night. Another thing is carrying the leaven from Egypt into the wilderness or the promised land. The idea is we're going to get rid of the old leaven. We're not going to carry it with us. We're not taking the mother with us anymore. That's all staying in Egypt, and we're going to start a new batch of bread in this new place we're going. So remember with the feast. Remember, this is how you sanctify the firstborn. You remember this with a feast. You remove the leaven. Third thing is this: you're going to have to explain this to your children, because they're going to ask. And again, this was a phenomenon that happens with the old covenant, where people are born into this covenant and they don't know why they're a part of this. They don't have any idea what they're supposed to be doing. And so that has to be explained to them. In contrast with the new covenant, you enter into the new covenant in Jesus Christ knowing what you're getting into. This is an understanding you have, and you voluntarily enter into this the promises and the agreement that God makes in Jesus Christ, and you do this willingly. In the old covenant, people are born into it, so they don't have any connection to it other than their parents were all Jews, and so we just are in it. So this is the third thing: is you're going to have a reason for this occasion. Why are we doing this? Look in verse 8. "And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt, and thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year." One more time, down in verse 14. "It shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." So the third thing is, you need to have a reason, and you need to be able to explain this to your children. When they ask, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And the Lord says, this is how you explain this. You just tell them what's happened, why it's happened, and why you're participating this way in this sanctification. So this, and the ordinance, remember, he says this a couple times. This ordinance highlights the Lord's power. This is a record of God's power in their lives. And the Lord wants to make a solid record of this. And so give a reason, be able to give a reason for this occasion, be able to explain it, be able to have a real conversation about this and explain it to your kids when they ask. Number four, fourth thing. Not only do you remember with a feast, you remove the leaven, you give reason. You give reason to the next generation of why you're doing this. But the fourth thing is, you're going to redeem the firstborn with a sacrifice. In verse 11, Moses says, "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, every firstling that cometh out of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. If thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children thou shalt redeem. So sacrifice. You have to pay for this firstborn. There's a price associated with this firstborn, and it's a sacrifice, and it's a redemption. So sanctification will require a sacrifice to redeem the firstborn going forward, and the redemption will be necessary. Otherwise, of the beast, the firstborn has to have its neck broken if it's not paid for with a lamb. So This is quite a process here. I mean, there's more to sanctification than just thinking about it. I'm just going to reflect on when God brought us out. I'm just going to reflect on it. No, this is the process. This is how you're going to reflect on it. This is what you need to do. And then that also, that's four things that God gives through Moses to define the sanctification of the firstborn. Now, that said, now we'll make the simple application. You understand what's going on here in the Old Testament. Pretty straightforward what's happened. You understand the sanctification process. Now, when you go to the New Testament, and Peter says something like, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now there's some background to it. You understand, okay, sanctification is not just, well, I'm going to sit on the boat and I'm going to go fishing and I'm going to think about God or something. No, sanctification, there's something to this. What did he say to do? Well, number one, remember the Lord in a regular celebration. That was what the Jews had to do. Remember this event with a regular celebration. You could say church, you could say, I think the Lord established this whole congregation and gathering and church and local church for this reason, part of it anyway. It's a celebration, it's a remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done. And in remembering, it gives us energy, it gives us strength, it gives us joy to go forward. And so remember with a real, tangible event, application, something I can do to create this memory. Remember the Lord on a regular celebration. Number two, the Jews were told to remove the leaven for this time. This 7 days of this feast, remove the leaven. Paul would say it this way in Corinthians. He would say, purge out therefore the old leaven. This is how you sanctify Jesus Christ in your heart. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he makes it spiritual. You want to take out the old leaven? The old leaven is stuff like malice. The old leaven is stuff like wickedness. No, but we're not going to celebrate a feast with wickedness and malice. We're going to get together and celebrate with sincerity and honesty and truth. That's how we're going to remember Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And so sanctification involves remembering. It involves removing old leaven. And it's spiritual, that old leaven of wickedness, malice, stuff like that. Paul gives a pretty good list of it in Galatians chapter 5, the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So you remove Egypt's leaven. You just get it out. That's part of sanctification. Another part of sanctification is reasoning. Be able to explain this. You need to be able to explain this. And reason with those that ask. This is Peter's point, and I think it's in 1 Peter, I think it's 3:15 or somewhere around in there, where someone has sanctified the Lord God in their hearts, they'll be able to give an answer. In fact, let me read that. Let's do that. Let's look in 1 Peter. Just make sure we can see it. Yeah, there it is. 1 Peter 3:15. Just like Israel was told, you need to be able to give a reason to the next generation. Explain this. Explain what's happened. That's part of sanctification. That's part of this whole process. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There you go. So part of this sanctification process, remember, remove, reason. Give a reason. Be able to explain this. I get a kick out of this sometimes. I don't know if they'd say get a kick out of it, but it's like, it doesn't happen very often now, but sometimes I get a question like, you know, Pastor, why do I believe, or we believe this, or, and I get it, you're trying to maybe figure out a denominational thing or something like that. But when it's more like, you know, how can I explain this, or where did I get this belief about XYZ? And I sometimes think, you know, if again, and I've said it before, but if I have to explain where you got this from, then you don't have the belief yet. You're not there. It's if I have to tell you where you got this, then you haven't got this yet. You're mimicking something, but you don't know where you got this. And I'm happy to go through and show stuff from the Bible, but some of those things are, you know, I think you ought to have, and Christians ought to learn to communicate what they believe and know why they believe what they believe. I think this is one of the biggest problems with evangelism is, or what we call evangelism is, you know, sometimes we approach people with a program, and I'm just trying to get you on my program. I'm not listening to what you're saying. I don't care what you're saying. I'm just trying to get you on my program. And communication requires you talk, I listen, you listen, we have a conversation. And we're able to explain, okay, this is why we came to these conclusions. This is where we got this from. This is where we got this from. I know in my younger days, it was like, knock on a door, we're going straight to the Romans Road, that's the deal. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're at. You know, wherever you are in life, hey, let's go to Romans chapter 3 right now. And it's like, okay. Well, we go through all of it, and they're like, you want to pray? Sure, I'll pray. Okay, whatever you want to do. Yeah, let's pray. So we pray. Okay, let's pray. But nothing's happened there. We haven't made any headway on this conversation. They don't know what they're praying about. I've just covered a program. I'm just going through some things. And so that whole communication, that whole being able to explain and pass this on. Why do I believe what I believe? Where did I get this? Did someone just tell me to believe this? And why am I believing this? And I'll tell you, it's showing up really quite a bit with teenagers and college kids, because they ask questions. And now they're getting more bold about asking questions. They don't just toe the line like older generations. They're not just going to say yes, sir, no, sir, which is good. Ought to say yes, sir, no, sir, all that kind of stuff. But they're just going to tell you, I don't believe in your God. You're going to have to give me a compelling reason why I should. And you know what? That's good. Because now you know what you're dealing with. Now you understand, okay, now you're not going to pretend to be something you're not, and I'm going to be shocked when you're 20 years old and you're all of a sudden not this thing anymore. Now you're just, be honest about it. And so, all the way back here in Exodus, the Moses, the Lord through Moses says, you know, you need to be able to explain this to your children. And then Peter says, look, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you. But be ready to answer their question, not your, what you think they're asking or what you want them to ask. Let them ask a question and be able to give an answer, give a response to their question. Redeem, that's how you sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Remember, remove the leaven, reason with those that ask. And then the last thing, number four, is redeem with a sacrifice. Redeem with a sacrifice. Paul would say it this way in the New Testament application of this. I quoted it this morning. He would say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, all that. I'll stop there. Point is, present your body a living sacrifice. That is how you redeem this time that you have left. Revenge your disobedience with obedience. How will I sanctify the Lord God? I'll redeem my time by being a sacrifice. My ambition will now become the Lord's ambition. My desires, I put them down, and I allow the Lord's desires to be my desires. That's what a sacrifice looks like. I don't have to flog myself or beat myself every day. I just need to die daily. My will needs to die, my ambitions, my goals, and I need to adopt God's goals and God's ambitions and God's desires. So redeem with a sacrifice, all the way in the Old Testament here in this chapter. That was one of the things. Exodus 13, 11 through 13, somewhere in there. Redeem the firstborn with a sacrifice. So that's part of the sanctification. Four things. There was four things involved with sanctification. Remember this with a feast. Remove the leaven. Reason for the occasion. Reason about it. Reason for the occasion. And redeem with the sacrifice. And all of those things, yeah, it's a real event in Exodus, but these are the principles of sanctification. This is what it looks like in real life. This is what the activity of sanctification is. So it's not just a theological word, just sanctification. Oh yeah, we just need to sanctify, and that's a theological word. It actually is a process here. It's a set of principles at work, a set of instructions at work here. And it works well in the New Testament when it's applied to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This is how it's applied. So I hope that's helpful. Good stuff there about sanctification and what it looks like in practice and how it can be applied in our lives. So let's pray. We'll get out of here and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would really help us apply these things. They're not just theology words like sanctification or justification. These have actual, I don't know, tangible applications in life. And I pray that you'd help us make those applications. Thank you again for this time together. And pray you get everybody home safely, for those that traveled a good distance. Thank you for a good Sunday. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.